Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage Podcast. We are live, streaming from the Cognitive Cave for, I don't know, the third or fourth time. I feel so much more safe when Steve is in the room with me. I do. I'm telling you, when you're trying to do this stuff, man, and you're like solo back here pulling on switches and hitting switches, man, it's fucked up. And when I got my boy Steve here, man, everything feels much more comfortable in the house. We're going to share the link probably on Facebook. I think you can do that at the bottom of the YouTube thing, bro. Maybe directly linked on the live streaming page. But anyway, we'll share it if you're tuning in anyway. Welcome, welcome. The guest we have returning is Andrew Mirante. I love this dude, as I always say. He's hype, man. He's always a ball of energy, a ball of love, a ball of honesty. That's for sure. That's a dose that most motherfuckers don't know how to take. But he is definitely that, and he's been on the show before. He's got a good review on iTunes, too, about him, man. Did you see that, Steve? Yeah, he does, man. Andrew Mirante, somebody wrote something really nice about him, but he's cool as hell, man. He's really been busy down there, too, in Naples. He's got something going with ESPN Radio, a guy named Brett Richardson, or Richard, from 99.3 FM, Southwest Florida, ESPN guy. They were working something. I got a lot of things to talk about with him, man. He's been busy. I watch his stuff, too, the AM Insights that he does in the morning. And I swear, I shit you not, I wake up, him and I wake up, or probably must wake up around the same time. Actually, his uses like an hour before I wake up, because this dude's like up before sunrise, opening up the gym and shit, you know. And so, yeah, every time I wake up, I like to see that on Facebook, man. He's always got some kind of honest, raw breakdown of either himself, you know, he's very self-aware, you know, always questioning himself on those insight things. It always leaves a cool bit of motivation. You know what I mean? Some direct kind of coaching motivation. And part of me is kind of old school like that still. You know, I like that old coaching. You know what I'm saying? They do it. It's like every morning I wait. There's my man right there. What's up, brother? Roxy gives everybody away when they get here. Good to see you, man. Sit down. Yeah, grab a seat, man. Put on the headphones, man. Good to see you, baby. Yeah, we're live, too. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, welcome. Roxy gives everybody away. Come here, Roxy. Come here, baby. Roxy, come here. He's saying hi to everybody. Yeah,
I was set up, man.
You dig it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we upgraded, man.
Sweet.
Yeah, we're slowly upgrading a little bit at a time. This time you get to sign the dang wall, man. You know, I've had most people sign. I got a couple signatures under the new soundproofing, but yeah, you didn't get to sign the wall last time. We weren't doing that.
Love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
So what up, man?
Not much. Just got a ride from the in-laws. They dropped me off on the way out of town.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so we're good to go.
All right. Hey, just I was picking up on a couple things. Remember on the mic here?
Yep.
It's kind of like we're making love, right? But kind of here is where you want to be. Even if you're this far back, it's a big difference in changing microphone of when we're recording on a podcast.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it happens. So move this shit around. Right. Just hit somebody with it. Do whatever you want with it.
There we go.
That's yeah. Oh, and then when you talk, the top of the mic, it's not like a singing mic. Watch. So if I'm talking to you like this, you see how on the microphone turn.
So you want to, more? Is that better?
Yeah. Well, a little more down into.
How about that?
Yeah, give me your best, like 99.3 ESPN Radio, Southwest Florida, yeah. Love Jam. Give me your best one. What you got?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here.
Come on, give me your best Midnight Jams. No,
I ain't got nothing.
Oh, God, man. I was putting him on the spot, man. Yeah. Midnight Jams with, instead of AM Insights, you're like PM.
PM Insights.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
You're going to stop dropping some romantic shit at night.
You know what? That's a great idea.
I love your AM. Actually, that's exactly what I was talking about when you walked in. I was talking about the AM Insights that you do.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's fun, man. It is fun. I started doing it just because it was kind of like my my journal, you know, my way to keep track, my accountability partner, if you will, and just to put stuff out there, level up and try to be better.
It takes a little bit of guts, doesn't it, to put your first kind of video out there?
Yeah, no, it does.
What's that like, man? Walk people through it, man.
You know, you got to get over the fact of worrying about what everybody's going to say or think or do and do it in one take. That would be my number one advice. Just do it in one take. Don't try to get it perfect. You know, Just be you. And I think that speaks to people more so than trying to be something you're not, or, you know, just you can see through it. And, but no, it's fun. I look forward to it every day.
Dude, I can't lie. I really do. That's what I was saying here. I gave myself too much props that was due. I was like, yeah, I think me and Mike wake up at the same time. Then I'm like, no, his shit always says like an hour or so, you know, before I'm kind of coming too. But I shit you not, man. It's the first feed that I see in the morning, you know, when I kind of wake up, because my alarm goes off, play some music. And so I kind of get the music, and then I always click, and I shit you not. It's the first little thing there, and sometimes you get pretty tough on yourself, man.
No, I think that's the vulnerability. You know, it's one of the book, Brené Brown, Daring Greatly, talks so much about vulnerability. And you got to love all of yourself. You know, how do you know if you're successful if you haven't been successful? How do you know if you're good if you've never been bad? How do you know? You know, so all that black, white, yin, yang, however you want to say it, whatever works for you, you got to love just and embrace, own. I'm an asshole sometimes. I got to embrace I'm a dick. But I also got to embrace that I'm the best father I can be, or I'm the best person I can be right now. And love them all and understand that it's okay to let them all out.
That's funny you bring up Brené Brown. Yeah. Is she, I was trying to get her on the podcast for like a month.
Wow.
And reached out to her and her, you know, colleagues, assistants, whatever. They were talking back, and they got about two emails into talking with me, and then I had to send another six before I finally got a response that said, basically, not a fucking chance, homeboy. We looked at your shit, and not a fucking chance are we going to put Brené Brown, who's going on Oprah in a week, around this guy. And I was like, man. I thought, man.
But you don't know if you don't ask.
Right. You know, that's what I thought, you know. She's cool, man. She's cool as shit.
Yeah, but no, so as far as people putting that stuff out there, man, it's just, if I'm going through it, somebody else is going through it.
Oh, agreed.
And if something I'm reading, listening to, something I think about, if it helps me, if it just helps one other person. And, but I like it just for the fact of it's that accountability. If I don't put something out there, it was during when I was at Mardi Gras, things get a little late at night, you know, and it was, I don't know what time it was, but I got a text message from somebody saying, hey, where's your AM insight? And I got it in like at 11:50 AM Central Standard Time, and it was kind of, whew, I got it in. Still in the AM.
Yeah.
But no, it was, go do it. Guys that I listen to, you know, just and see what they do. I just said, you know what? Why not? I got nothing to lose. Let's just do it.
I loved it, man. I'm glad you do it, man. It's a lot of talk about it, but I'm serious, dude. It's you keep them just short enough. As some people keep quoting on there, the word you're going to wreck when you're driving.
Oh, I know. My buddies. Yeah,
yeah, me too. I'm kind of like, dude, I don't know if you should do that.
Haven't gotten caught yet.
So yeah.
Yet being the key word.
You fucking rebel. But seriously, man, but I really do look forward to it, man. I tell you, the accountability is big. You really don't see, I don't know if you can say, it was probably going to be a fucking generalization, so I'll do it anyway. You know, you don't see a lot of people that are willing to hold themselves accountable for decisions they make, choices they make, failures they have, or even the failure to attempt. You know, the accountability is big as fuck, man.
Yeah, I can't do it by myself. You know, I don't think, you know, I hear that a lot too, the more I listen to and read. The ultra elite successful, whatever that word successful means, they've never done it by themselves. They've got a team. They've got a mentor, an advisor, a group around them, whatever it is. Yeah. Fuck it. If I've done everything by myself to this point and I'm not where I want to be, well, why not get some teammates and, you know, get to the next level?
Yeah, it takes that. I mean, you're right. I do get tired of hearing that self-made man shit, you know, because – look, okay, you know, it doesn't, because somebody had to take a deal that had to buy your shit, that had to do a thing,
right.
You know, the self-made whatever, I don't know.
No, I get it, but again, if we strip it away, there's somebody that you're leaning on.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, man.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So.
Well, shit, I lean on you in the morning. Gets my ass up.
Thank you.
Especially when you post those fucking pictures of you walking in a gym with, and I know it's dark outside because the fucking windows are still black.
Right.
And I see this motherfucker getting in the damn gym at like 5:15. You know, like, here, let me shoot a video too, turn on the gym, open it up, and I'm going like, oh. I'm like, fuck, I'm a loser. I'm like, I got to get up and do something, man. Like, this guy's training people, and I haven't had coffee yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you're making me look bad.
No. Being your accountability partner.
You really are, dude. It's true, man. So what the fuck were you doing tomorrow? Oh, you like the cup?
Nice mug.
Oh, I love it, man. I told you.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah,
well, drink out of mine.
Do you?
I got another one, too. It's this guy, Matt Vincent.
Is that where this came from?
No, that's from Rogue American Apparel, I think. Yeah. They're just a bunch of like hardcore bad dudes.
You see it there? Mainframe. Yeah,
beautiful. There's a thrower. He went to LSU. He threw with my sister. And he was, I mean.
Thrower?
Yeah, he was a thrower. She threw javelin. He threw shot and disc and hammer maybe. He's a legit Highland Game, like world champion. Like, he's a badass. He's in Baton Rouge. Matt Vincent. But he's got a mug, and it just simply says, kick today in the dick. That's my other coffee mug.
I like that shit. Yeah. I love it, man. You sent me this, and then this has kind of become the mantra, you know, for myself.
I got the poster.
Oh, that's sick.
You know what? I had to put tape over some of those words, too, because it's hanging up in the house.
You know, Well, mine was on the fridge, and then I moved it.
Yeah.
Well, no one has read this on air aloud, but only in the cave. So if you would do the honors to read the opening ceremonies, I usually light the sage at that time, but in their own head. So I think since it came from you as a gift with the thing,
oh, that's awesome.
We got to record you because what I may do, this may be the new intro for the show.
Oh, shit.
If my boy Andrew spits this, right, I think it could be a cool intro. Okay. We may have to edit it. Steve has the final say. I'm just talking shit.
No, I'll just say it, but I'm going to say the words.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna.
Think of it like, No, get them. Yeah, think of it. I may really use this for the new opening of the show. I love the violins. It's very like.
I like it.
Let's get ready and think.
I do like it,
but I like to mix in like my friends, my people. You know what I mean? Like an interactive thingy.
All right, here we go, and these are awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, be loyal, lift heavy weights, drink good beer, love all who love and support you, give no shit. Take no shit. Stand up for someone weak. Give back. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Protect something till death. Fuck hard. Love harder. Take care of your people. Travel. Be part of something bigger than yourself. Learn how to shoot. Listen to good music. Eat well. Love all animals. Crush anyone who harms women, the disabled, or children. Be the example. Live it.
Live your cognitive fucking rampage. Or how about just live your cognitive rampage? I might have had to re-edit that, so we'd have to cut that out. Dude, that was nice.
I like it. That's all. I got the poster.
I'm hype.
Hanging up in the office, and I got tape over some of those words. So,
dude, I think, can we, Steve, turn that into an intro, you think?
Possibly.
That would be badass.
Work your magic, Steve.
We may have to leave out the fuck hard part.
Depends on the audience.
Yeah, if you hear me and I sound like an 80-year-old smoker, I'm at the tail end of a 3-day bug that fucked my ass up. And although, when you run the numbers, right, the flu bug is my wife, who's an RMP, determined. She got sick, too. The flu is usually 7 to 14 days. I went 3 days and at the tail end of the third day now with nothing. Like, I got a little leftover congestion here, but no sore throat, no headaches, but I'm money.
You do anything? You take anything?
All natural, man. All natural, brother. I do the same shake. I have a routine, dude. It's fucking weird. It's probably part animal, right? Because I can see little fucking animals doing this. I'll feel it coming on. I'm like, uh-oh. I get up and I make a shake. And the shake I make is ginger, garlic, all kinds of greens from kale to ginger, pepper, turmeric, carrots, you name it, celery, cucumbers. Yeah. I just load that shit up in there. And I got this new plant-based protein I'm using. I fucking love it. And I'll just mix all that up. I'm probably forgetting a couple things. Potassium, vitamin C, juice it up, right?
Yep.
Down that really fast, back in some melatonin, and just goodbye. I just goodbye world, and I curl up in the bed, put it out for 10 to 12 hours, and be like, go to work, body. And I'm like, whoop that thing's ass. And if I wake up, I usually do, I wake up in like 80 pounds of sweat.
Sweat, yeah.
Yep, make one more shake, out. That's it. And after 2-3 days of just that, I won't eat shit. And I'm doing that new Primal Blueprint diet, too.
I just ordered my book today.
Did you?
You know why?
Huh.
I saw Joe Rogan post something about fucking he had a piece of elk and avocado.
Yep.
And I said, fucking, actually, right before my son's basketball game this morning, I got on my phone and ordered it from Amazon.
Yeah, Mark Sisson, the author of that book.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I've been doing it now 2 weeks.
Probiotics? Taking any probiotics
yep.
with you?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, there's a one I'm in there. It's some of it comes with the shake, and then one that I'm taking, too. It's about a billion and change that I'm substituting. Where I am messing up, I can tell you, because I'm 2 weeks into it, and I can't tell you. I won't lie. It's like somebody fucking vacuum sealed me a little bit. You know what I mean? Somebody went like and sucked me in a little bit, you know? The cravings fucking sucked. Like, for the first 2 days, maybe, you know, I mean, look, I'm no bitch. I could get through the craving. But if you really had to compare it to just being normal, you know, feeling normal than what your body wanted.
Right.
You know, it craved fast food like crazy, which was odd. And because there's no sugars, absolutely none.
Yeah.
You know, but what I was messing up at is I was only eating about 25 to 35% fat, which is the only source of energy.
Right. So you got
to. I've been dragging ass the last 3 days, and then I happen to get sick at the same time.
Right.
You know, and I noticed because I was pounding more coffee than usual, you know, and so now I'm trying to find a way, you know, to introduce more fats.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. It's something changed, something new.
Yeah. You know, for me, too, it was a lot of stress-free, you know, because when he talked about, I always used to have this idea when I wake up, fill the body up with nutrients, got your day to go. And he would be like, if you're not hungry, don't fucking eat. Just go on about your day, because I would throw a fast day in once during the week. I've been doing that, and sometimes just not hungry. And so I go, you know, 4 or 5 hours, you know, and then I'll have that shake or something like that, and then you graze all day. I like how he says, act like you're walking through the woods. How would you eat? You know, you wouldn't be stowing up tons of food. You know, you kind of eat as you go, but it is. I dig it. I dig it. The stress, you know what we did do is our family no longer does family dinners.
Huh.
Yeah. I tell you, my daughter about did a somersault. I'm telling you.
Well, she's got such a busy schedule, huh? Right now, volleyball, school.
Yeah, but when you, by the time, what, 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week, she's home at like 9, you know, 9:30 from practice, you know, she has homework in between there, right out to the thing and back, you know, so by the time I was cooking dinner, thawing something out, when's everybody going to be home? My wife works in the ER, so her schedule is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, and this diet, this Primal Blueprint diet is like this grazing type diet to where it's just snack as you go. I prep everything on Sunday. I'll cook like 15 pieces of chicken, all these vegetables, tons of greens. You know, not a lot of colorful greens, just or colorful vegetables, just green.
Mm-hmm.
And load it up. And you kind of eat all day on when you're hungry. And if you're not, you don't. It's not, I mean, imagine if I could take out of your brain the idea of having to think about dinner every night for like the whole family.
Huge.
Oh, right.
Any meal, right?
Yeah.
If you're hungry, you eat. If you're not hungry, you don't eat.
Yeah. But some people get, you know, they get trained in that eat the square meal, go to the lunch, go to the dinner.
Right.
You know, I've also heard about dropping that myth. He kind of talks about that. You're the trainer guy too. What do you see about the difference between, you know, what's the general consensus? Eating every 2 to 3 hours or say to keep your body going, you know?
Yeah, I think right now if you looked, it would be that. It would be make sure there's something in your gut in the morning. Some people, you know, again, you can find a half dozen articles on one about fasted cardio or fasted lifting. Fasted simply means not a meal. A shake is one thing because your body's not really, I mean, it's liquid. It's not really digesting. But I think it would be, you know, breakfast, morning snack, lunch, afternoon snack, dinner. Maybe a light snack or something, you know, before bed if you're, you know, depending upon if you're looking to keep the body in anabolic state or something like that, you know. And then you got the whole other side of, like, the carb backloading and, you know, when to eat your carbs throughout the day and save them for the evening. And, again, I think we talked about this last time, too. I'm just a believer of whatever works for you.
Yeah.
And you got to try everything. I mean, that's the other thing, you know. You got to kind of mess with the intermittent fasting, if you will. Take a fasting day. Give your body and digestive system a chance to relax. See if that works for you. And high fat, high protein, does that work for you? And, you know, you kind of have to dabble a little bit. If you're starting at a point where you're not doing anything, if we can, you know, take out little things that we know we should be not be consuming, you'll see great results regardless of what you do. But it's people who are pretty fine-tuned that, you know, you got to kind of mess with.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of it does. They share similar notions, a lot of them. But for me, a lot of the stuff that Mark was talking about that caught on for me was the difference between eating like an athlete and eating for fat burning and health, and that difference. And I kind of really never looked at it like that. Being an athlete my whole life, lifting, I thought of this idea like you just covered it, the every 2 hours, the back and the carbs, right, and going for the size, right? And then the Mark's like, or myself too, I used to look around and go, damn, how many dudes over, you know, 60 or 70 are jacked do I see walking around? You don't see them, man. You know, they're occasional, you know, but that was Mark's point. He's what, he was a world-class marathoner for a long, long time. It was a different build too, but... And I thought more about that, and I thought, man, so let me try to eat differently. And, you know, he talked about no pre-meal before the workout and no post, so which has been different for me. These 2 weeks have been different because I'm programmed to eat the apple before I go do the thing, you know, and he's kind of talking, well, why? That's what you're going to burn, not what you're trying to burn. And I said, oh, man. And then he goes, then after the workout, what's with the post shake? You're not this performance athlete. Right? What are you feeding? So everything you just worked off, you put right back. And he goes, wait an hour or so before you really eat. So I do now. I come home and I'll meditate now after the workout because I can't shower. If I shower right away, I'm done. I'm going to get out and still fucking sweat. Mm-hmm. You know, so I try to find something to do. Like I'll stretch or meditate or some shit. And you keep sweating. You feel the body burning the fat doing that. And you get used to not eating. And then after you kind of, all right, I'm hungry. You'll have that piece of chicken. You know, and the fruit also, he cuts the fruit in half. And that's why he eats 55% fat.
Wow.
And what's that on a regular norm?
What do you mean?
Versus typical is what, 25%, right?
I was going to say you're probably, if somebody did 40, 30, 30, something like that, you know, 40% protein, 30 carb, 30 fat.
Yeah.
But the problem is nobody ever, it's so hard if you track it to get that much fat. I mean, you got to add MCT oil. You got to add, I mean, you got to have a half of an avocado.
Dude, it's floating in this motherfucker, man. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's tough to get that much. And if he's going 55%, that's, hey.
Well, hey, we're talking how the Inuit people that eat just the fat, no cancer. The only Inuit that ever got cancer was a smoked cigarette. Outside of that, that's what they were talking about on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Okay.
And that's what Mark was also making a comparison to. And I thought, holy shit, man. You know, the one thing that he talks about that I can't quite bring myself to is eating the bones. He talks about eating the knuckles off like chicken bones, eating those, the bone gelatins and stuff like that. That's where he's also getting some other minerals and fats and stuff.
I don't know either, yeah.
So he's making bone stew and shit.
Wow.
Yeah, some primal shit. I mean.
Hence the name, right?
Yeah.
It's probably an acquired taste. I don't know if I could do that.
That's what I was like, man. I'm just starting gnawing on some fucking bones or some shit, man. God. I mean, I'm all for getting in there, you know, but fuck.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
Yeah, the podcast they run too, man. They do like getaways. Okay. You sign up for these things for a couple grand. You can go out with these groups and they do these primal blueprint getaways and you do these primal activities, which was funny as shit because you know the other business, it was Primal Nature. .us has taken people on those crazy, real primal adventures. And so that's kind of what they're doing. I thought, I was like, man, good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Mine didn't work, though.
No.
It worked for a little bit. This guy, but Mark's way smarter. You know, this guy's book's killing it, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's a long talk about the damn thing, but I'm 2 weeks into it, man.
I like it, though. No, I mean, it's, like I said, it's something different. It's a new approach.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to take away what you like from it and carry it on, and that's the beauty of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, just today and tomorrow, I'll start the increase of the fat to see if it changes the energy levels, because the energy level is truly affected, because it's what, about 2 weeks to hit ketosis fully?
Yeah, I think everybody's going to be different, but that 10 to 14 days is probably...
That's a bitch.
You get that hangry stage.
Oh.
You're hangry.
Dude, man, I was trying to hang up my clothes and that little wire fucking hanger. You're like, oh, really? You don't want to go in the shirt thing? And then you're like, listen to you, Adam. Listen to you right now. You're going to whoop the wire coat hanger's ass, really?
Right with the hanger.
Yeah.
No, it's I get that. So I'm so hungry. If I just hear something, I just snap. And it's just. But no, it's you work through that. And I've done some paleo challenges and stuff, and I haven't been as strict or as disciplined as I should be with those things. But it, for me, it's like that 3 to 5 days is just tough.
Yeah. I should do like a ketosis rehab place. You come get in ketosis real quick, then go the fuck home. Quit cigarettes and get in ketosis and change your diet. Do a 2-week rehab just for that. We probably do fucking well, too. Look at that. Yeah, so you get motherfuckers are thinking. You're like, shit, that's not a bad idea. Hey, I'm trademarking. Any of you fuckers out there that open a cigarette rehab, okay, you open up a cigarette rehab and you do a sugar and carb and cigarette offer rehab. I mean, what? They were comparing some of this sugar withdrawal stuff to heroin, right?
I was just going to say, I mean, it's got to be one of the most addictive substances. Yeah. What was it? Was it Fed Up? Was that the documentary where they legitimately show you the image of the brain lit up on whatever illegal narcotic it was, and then the brain lit up on sugar, and it was almost identical.
Yeah, the one myth I always like to put to bed that my wife loves to reiterate is that sugar doesn't jack kids up. It doesn't make them excited. It makes our brain light up like a chemical would, but that myth that, like, oh, you give the kids sugar before bed and they're running around like crazy. She keeps telling me that that's not true. And I was like, all right, cool. She's fucking right. And it's not a stimulant like that to where you wake up. It stimulates the brain, et cetera, you know, and you can have ideas. But if I'm wrong, I'm blaming my wife. But she's smarter than me. And she adamantly argues this with me. And she's smarter than me, man.
Well, don't argue with her.
I don't. I really just, are you sure? And then we Google, look some stuff, and then you see some say yeah, and then some say no. You know, so it's an argument. Huh. Not with us, though. She always wins. Apparently, you see, I just announced it on the fucking podcast like it's fact. See, baby, I love you. I just, so if I get cursed out and somebody says something like, hey, bitch, no, that's not true. You know, I do it just for you, honey. No? All right. I'm in a rare form tonight, Steve. I am. Forgive the beanie. So I wear the beanie now when I'm doing this shit. One, because the mess that's underneath this that I'm in the grow out stage of. Yeah, you just know. It's appalling. You could go like male Medusa shit, you know. and two, after a while, when this shit sticks around your headphones, your ears, that little cushion feels so nice. You know what I mean? It's like a real difference. Because sometimes, you and I did, what, 2.5 hours last time back here bullshitting?
Yeah.
So, and after a while, man, I'm doing 3 podcasts a week almost. 2 to 3 podcasts a week. You get tired of this shit.
Well, you're going to get a little bald spot right there. The pad's going to rub some hair away.
Wait a minute. Is one starving?
Oh, yeah. Hey.
No, that's on purpose.
Give yourself some lines.
No, man. You got to let your daughter, you know, do whatever she wants sometimes. All right. But no, I'm growing this shit out, man. Now, I was at this, it doesn't look too bad. I went downtown the other day to this TEDx event. It was a TEDx salon event. Yeah, that was a waste of fucking time. I won't do that again. No, yeah, I probably shouldn't talk shit about him. That's probably bad, huh?
It just didn't live up to the expectation?
Yeah. Well, I loved it. Let me back up. All right. I do love it because it gave me an opportunity to go and debate people for free. And they want you to. I had to clarify this a few times when I was like, wait a minute, you want to debate? And they were like, yeah, that's what we're all here for. I'm like, oh, let's ride. You know what I mean? And so they let the TED speaker thing go on and they cover some things. And it was about reviving towns and cities and little, it was a very unique talk. I loved it. And this little faction wants to revive downtown Orlando and make it this drivable city, et cetera. Now, mind you, I own nightclubs and was in the nightclub business in Orlando downtown a long time and fought the mouse for many years, you know, trying to keep Orlando open, et cetera. Family fucking town till the mouse says so. And it's funny watching all these youngins there and their power and their might. And someone really can make some changes. You know, there were some smart people there really dropping some knowledge. But the minute I disagreed, holy shit, they came unleashed on your fucking boy, dude. I was like, all right, I'm going to just play devil's advocate here. If you paint over shit, it's still shit. You know what I mean? I just kind of pointed out the obvious. You know what I mean? I said, you got to fix the infrastructure of the whole thing. You can't just paint things green and call it wonderful. You know what I mean?
Right.
And man, like 6 people. Because what you're supposed to do is you watch the speaker, the video or whatnot, And then there's like 30, 40 people, maybe more, right? And then you just kind of randomly break into groups as you start talking. It can be 3 over here, 10 over here, 15 over here. At this place, it wound up to 2 giant groups. And the first video, I got attacked like crazy for playing devil's advocate, man, for real. The one lady's like, well, look, we're not trying to solve world peace. I was like, Jesus Christ. And then the next group, we watched another video. None of those people sat in the group that I sat in to debate the next time. You know, I had to kind of join the other because it turned into one group, man. I thought that Ted Solani event would be a little different. But
I didn't know they did those like that.
Yeah, they have little factions in little cities. They may have one in Naples or something, man. And that you can start little charters for them.
Okay.
This one was TEDx Salon or TED Orlando, TEDx Orlando, TED Club. You know, they were really nice people. I don't want to get it twisted. They were nice. You know, they invited everybody in, laid out some wine, met some cool people, too. Really cool, smart people, too. One guy was supposed to come on the podcast, does this juice bikes thing downtown. Pretty cool guy. Peter, I think, was his name. Nice dude. But yeah, maybe you should start one down there.
I'll look into it.
Be badass.
Yeah.
I can see that shit.
Come to beautiful Naples.
Yeah.
Chat about world peace.
So you're down in Naples for a while. You're gonna do the whole raise all the fam down there. You're gonna finish it out down there.
You know we've I mean it's a nice place. The first 6 months I was there, I was like, man, I'm leaving. This is before since I've been there. I got there in 2003, so you figure that's 13 years.
Yeah.
New schools have been built. I mean the place is blown up.
Yeah.
When I first got there, I was like, there's no way. I mean, I was used to living in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Then we lived in Jacksonville. So two pretty decent-sized cities, nightlife, what have you. I'm 26 years old, and places are closing at 7, 8, 9 p.m.
Yeah, you know, when I lived on Marco.
10 p.m. on Friday.
Dude, you couldn't order a pizza before 5 p.m. on Marco Island when I lived there.
Wow.
Part of that's cool, but part of it you're like, wait, hold on. You know, but part you're like, all right, I can't order a pizza.
No, it was crazy. But yeah, to your point, it's a nice place to raise the family. So whenever we're done raising the family, I mean, I got my dreams of, you know, my kids going back to New Orleans, going to high school, you know, playing where I played and seeing everything. But they visit so much. We just got back from Mardi Gras, like we said.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so what were you just visiting, just going to Mardi Gras to hang out and see your buddies? I mean, you were all over Facebook with that shit and your people.
Yeah, I ride every year in a crew, if you will.
Yeah.
On Friday nights but my family's still there too, so
what's that about? How do you get involved with a crew that's in the Mardi Gras for
you gotta know somebody.
How's this happen, dude?
One of my best of friends from college. Actually, he's from D.C. He's been in this group for 9-plus years. And
what's the group name?
The Crew of Hermes.
Okay.
And it's a blast, dude. It's my favorite day of the year, Hermes Friday. But no, he got me in. And, you know, you go through an application process and, you know, all that sort
like
of stuff.
Like some skulls type shit? Like some...
Not necessarily initiation, but, you know, I mean, there's a written application and, you know, I mean, you're filling paperwork out and they got to know who you are and what do you do and all that sort of stuff. And once you're approved, you're in. And so, yeah, we went down for that.
But what is it? What is, like, how do I, like, what's the Hermes thing? I know nothing. So, like, it's really interesting to me. I'm like, yeah, you know what? How do the float people become the float people?
Well, that was pretty much that in a real quick, you know, 30-second, you know, elevator. How do you do it? You got to know somebody, honestly.
Yeah. But what's the Hermes thing? Like, what is it? A club that you apply?
It's a club.
What do they do?
They have nonprofits that they, you know, support the city and do some things that, you know, extracurricular outside of just riding and Mardi Gras and throwing beads. They're very well established, 75-plus years. So they do a lot of stuff around town, around New Orleans, and for betterment of the city, betterment of law enforcement. I mean, it's
superhero shit.
No, it's their reach spawns pretty good.
See?
And they've got some you know, pretty spot on people in that crew. So no, it's a privilege to be part of it. And I got in simply for the fact of, like I said, my buddy was in. He had his first child and couldn't ride, so I was his sub rider. And that kind of got my foot in the door. I got to meet some people, got to hang out with some people, do luncheons, do dinners, do all this sort of stuff. And so that was it.
Bam.
And so I applied, and fortunately got in. So there's like probably, there's two of my other buddies from college, fraternity brothers of mine, that are in, and then I've gotten to know their buddies and who they got in and all these different little factions.
Sounds like a comic book superhero club. I heard law enforcement come out, Steve. What kind of faction are we talking here? Who can we relate this comic book group to? You got all these guys with their reach stretching far across the country, although it's quite quiet. You notice how we just kind of skipped over what Hermes was, and they do a lot of good things around town. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like a faction of some kind, man. Yeah, you got some brilliant guy who's bald-headed in a wheelchair hanging out with you somewhere?
No, I don't think so. I haven't met him yet.
I think that was an X-Men reference.
It was.
Yeah.
I haven't met him yet, but we had a blast, dude. I went Wednesday to Monday.
Yeah.
And the kids came, and they enjoy every second of it. You put them in ladders, these little, like, almost like wooden seats on top. You're bombing the kids. You know, you're riding, and you're bombing the kids, or vice versa. You know, you're down there waving to people, throw me something, mister, and all this crazy shit. And, I mean, what people will do for a 20-cent bead or a nickel cup, you know, with the logo on it, you know. But it's a blast. I try to, people that don't know, but think about tailgating for 12 hours and 15 feet away from you is this, you know, is 9 hours of parade, and people are throwing beads, and you're drinking some beers, and there's bands and all these, you know, high school, I mean, just live music type venue. That's your entertainment.
People watching like crazy.
And that is the number one best part about it. Not only seeing family and friends and reconnecting and having these traditions and all this sort of stuff start, but man, you can sit there in a fold up chair and just watch.
Yeah, I haven't been. You been to Mardi Gras, Steve? I haven't been to Mardi Gras either. I want to fucking go. I gotta go.
Put it on the list, man.
Yeah, I gotta check that off. I got a lot of list of shit to do, man. Well, I try not to let that thing get too long. I try to keep it to like 4, you know, a year.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, there's a bucket list in case I get the news. It's like, homie, you got 72 hours. And I'm like, okay, I open the safe, open the wall. You know what I mean? They'll be like, honey, I love you. Well, I got 48 hours. I got a lot of shit to check off. Let's go. You know what I mean? Let's ride.
Call off for work today.
Yeah. Well, I'm at work. We're doing it right now, man.
Well, no, your wife.
Yeah. No, she come with me. Yeah. We go spin that little bit, you know, and be like, honey, I got 48 hours to do this stuff. I always told her if I ever got that kind of news, I may go fishing and just never come back. Just go fishing, man. There was enough gas to get me about, 36 miles off to the Humps and the Keys. That's a good place to go. Just small enough boat with enough fuel to get out there.
Yeah, could be worse places.
Right. Go hang out with Davy Jones for a while.
Just far enough away where you don't have a cell signal to hear that. JK, we had the wrong person.
Oh, man. You're all the way out there.
Now you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere. Shit. I'm not dying. What happened?
Oh, man. Let me tell you.
Nobody can reach you.
Dude, it's a place to be there. I always reference this Gordon Lightfoot song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And there's a line in there. It's a real wreck that happened up on Lake Superior. And there's this line that he says where he says, does anyone know where the love of God goes, where the waves turn the minutes to hours? And man, I've been in two storms in my life to where those sentences are so on, where you're just like, holy shit. You know what I mean? You're just like, how long have we been doing this? You know what I mean? When you can't see the bow of the boat, man, and it's Cape Fear shit and lightning's everywhere. You know what I mean? And oh my God, it's a place.
I grew up in the city, man.
Well, you're down in Naples. I'm surprised you're not out there doing a lot of fishing and stuff, too.
When I first moved down there, I tried.
Yeah.
Like, just tried to get into it, you know?
Yeah.
Never did.
No?
No.
That's what I miss most.
But it is something that I'd like to get in, just for the simple fact of I wasn't exposed to it. I want to expose the kids to it just because, I mean, hell.
Yeah.
If you can fish, you can fish. You can fish, you always support yourself in some way, shape, or form if you're near a body of water. So to fish and hunt, I'd love to be able to get into that now just because, number one, I'd be learning, but number two.
You want to go hunting?
Teach the little ones. Hell yeah, I want to. I mean.
You want to go?
Yeah, I just bought my first firearm.
That's right.
Just went to the range last week. I, it's kind of addictive. I told my wife in this sense, I don't know what's more addictive, the purchase of guns or tattoos to me. because they're both scratch a place that other things can't really get to, and it's like, you know what, if I can,
I'm gonna go with tattoos first.
Well,
yeah, I'm gonna go with tats first.
I don't think there's a wrong answer.
Yeah,
personally, but no, yeah, I mean, if you got some spots, we can talk, because never been, would love to learn and see it. I even want to, you know, get crazy and get, you know, go boar hunting or something, just jump off of a stand and stab something.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
As, or sick as that sounds.
Yeah, no, we definitely, my taking one with a knife is definitely possible. I mean, that's kind of what the family does over here. Okay. My brother, who's coming on the podcast Sunday,
right,
he is motherfucking outdoorsman. You know, he's the guy who lives in Kodiak, Alaska.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, now we grew up doing this stuff, him and I, you know, from I was in the water spear and fish at fucking 8 years old, 9 years old, and, you know, this dude is fucking crazy. I mean, I shit you not, this dude goes to Africa, right, and he goes and sits in the bush overnight in Zimbabwe with a bow. Yeah, he's going to tell that story on Sunday, right, because you can't have firearms where he was. You know, so he only could have a bow. He had no weapon. Yeah, and he put a blind up in front. Dude, he'll tell you the story. But this dude's nuts. So he's taking a lot of people to go get their hog. It's the rite of passage in my family as a man. I put that picture up once before. I have two. There's a 280-pound Russian boar and a 250-pound American. And I got both of those in the same day. And they're kind of rites of passage, man. But he's taking a bunch of people, and we go to the same place. You know, I don't want to put his ranch out there unless he's got permission. Well,
no,
we'll talk after, though.
Yeah, sure.
But Warren Sapp used to hunt there and shit. But it's not like this cheating, fenced-in stuff.
You're right there, hooked up to a tree.
No, you miss, it's over. You know, we can't have the harm stuff. But, I mean, the guides out there, it's beautiful. My brother does it himself, but this motherfucker, my brother does some crazy. This dude does some crazy shit. I'm telling you, when he goes off about some of the fucking hunting and stuff that this dude does, he's out of his fucking mind.
What's he do? I mean, it's got to be great up there. I mean, is he going hunting up in Kodiak?
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of things. He's been stuck on the fishing thing right now.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? I could probably put it out there because it's ending right now. He's an avid listener to the podcast. I probably should.
Hope so.
We have this. All right, no. He's probably, right now, if he's listening, he's going, don't you fucking see it. Don't you see it? Because he's sitting with Bill right now, and we have this plan that we're working on that I think you could help us with.
All right, well, don't say nothing.
Yeah. But he's been doing a lot of outdoor fishing stuff. He's been really soaking that stuff in when you can. But the weather, when it turns up there, bro, it's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's scary, man. They have, he lives, if you walk out his back door and you walk, I don't know, 30, 40 yards maybe. No, a little less than that, 20, 30 yards. There's 40-foot cliff that just drops off right there where the waves are smashing underneath the thing. I mean, dude, it's some primal shit, dude. He's out there.
How long has he been there?
Almost a year.
Okay.
Yeah, almost a year. He went out there to coach football, so yeah. Been out there a year.
That's the first episode I listened to.
Oh, the Boys of Kodiak?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That was insane.
Those dudes are fucking crazy.
Those guys would travel hours and ferries and whatever.
Oh, my God.
Just to play.
Right. It's fucking crazy, man.
And the terrible weather.
And the town pays for that shit, too. The district doesn't even support them. The district tries to do everything. The reason that they have to do that is because the district won't support them. All the community can afford is those ferries. The district won't pay for it. The school won't pay for it. Airlines don't help them out. Nothing, bro. Because it's expensive. I think it's like they charge them $1,000 a ticket per student if they wanted to fly to some of these games. Yeah, can you imagine fundraising for that?
$30,000 for every game?
That's right.
Damn.
That's right. Instead, they got to take this ferry for 18 fucking hours sometimes in 20-foot swells.
No.
Get there Friday, sleep generally in the gymnasium or in some storage place they shove them somewhere,
yeah,
and then drive on a bus like 6 hours to get to the field on Saturday morning and play that afternoon. Play and then come back the same way. Looking nuts, right?
Those kids love to play.
Yeah, that's some deep stuff. But yeah, he's gonna come on some primal stuff. We can definitely go, man. I got a lot of listeners that do the same thing too. You know, Brent Shriver's a guy I grew up with. He does a lot of hunting too. A lot of friends out there. Hey, man, if you guys know any listeners down there, man, we got listeners spread out everywhere. If any guys you know somebody in Naples, Fort Myers kind of area, hook my boy up, man. Send us an email and shit like that, and take my boy hunting, man. He's Got to learn the ways. I'd like to really go with you, man, and go to that ranch we go to.
No, I'd love to do that. I'd agree.
Because it's, well, if you go with me, man, there's a little ceremony. You know I'm Native American. Like, we don't play with that shit.
Hey, when in Rome.
Ah, no, yeah, I'm saying that like, no shit. I know you'd be it. Dude, the man who runs the savage race, the fucking, didn't you just finish this fucking craziness?
I just did another go-ruck.
Yeah.
From the last time I was here.
So
it was
what?
During Veterans Day.
So what the hell? What's this race, man? How many people do you have to kill and spikes did you have to run over?
This one messed me up. It was completely different than the first go-ruck I did. And again, for anybody listening out there who doesn't know what it is, it's a 12-hour, maybe 14-hour overnight endurance event run by old Special Forces guys. And I say old, meaning they're in their early 30s and they're retired. You know, they put their 8, 10, 12 years in and now they're back as civilians. And it's great because they're one of the whole missions of GORUCK as a company is to kind of show civilians, show us kind of what these guys go through, and you know, and they support so many different charities, and it's a phenomenal organization. But nonetheless, I did one a year and a half ago in New Orleans, and then just did this past whatever Veterans Day weekend, November 13th, 14th weekend. And this one was crazy. It was started at 9 p.m. and it was about 40, 45 degrees out, so it was cool. Within, I don't know, 20 minutes, we're so completely submerged in water. I mean, it's just, it's cool.
Now the 45 is like 20.
Easy. And, you know, I mean, you're PT and you know, and they're breaking you up and building you up and, you know, breaking you down, building you up, that whole thing. And I don't know the exact mileage. I'm just going to think of in hours. There's 22 of us in the class. We carried a 30-foot telephone pole for about five and a half miles, putting it down every so often when we needed to, what have you. The suck part about that was when you put it down, you obviously got to get it back up. And so every time you put it down, you got to second guess. Do I really need to put this down?
Who's making the call to put this shit down, man?
Yep.
Yeah.
We get to the ending point of that, and we had done some stuff prior to figure out how many casualties we were going to have in this next.
See, I told you you're going to have to kill somebody. I knew it. I was joking around, Steve. I was like, how many people do you have to kill and spikes you got to run over? You fucking mean it.
So I fireman carried this guy for probably another, say, 3.5-4 hours. And they kind of sized you up. So, you know, I wasn't going to get the 120-pound lady, you know, nor was I going to get, you know, the 180-pound guy. So I had a guy who's about 215. And, you know, you're just – plus you got your rucksack on. So, you know, you're walking with him, and it's just
– you said 3 to 5 hours with firemen carrying this dude.
Easy, because it was probably 2:30 in the morning, and by the time we got to the ending point and did everything else we were supposed to do, the birds started chirping. So you kind of figure it was 4:30 to 5:30. Once the birds start chirping, they wake up, and then – so, yeah, you figure 2:30 to, say, 5:30. So it was a good 2.5 to 3 hours.
With a dude on your back.
Yep.
And the rucksack.
Yep. And there's some. I'll be honest. Some of the time, my rucksack was off. They had another guy carrying it, or I mean, hell, they even had ladies carrying stuff. I mean, we had some badass ladies in there. So at the very end, we get to a point, and they're like, "All right, we got X amount of time to get back to our starting point." And we're carrying at this point in time. We pick up those casualties. Turned into they taught us how to make field litters, field gurneys, mm-hmm. out of 2x4 tarps. So I mean, somewhat educational. I mean, now you're tying square knots, you're tying all these different things, and doing this. So you get them back to a certain point. We had 3 5-gallon buckets full of sand. So you figure each one of those weighs between 45, 55 pounds. You had the 2 casualties plus, you know, bad. It was just the very end, we get to drop some of that stuff, and they made me the team leader. And it was basically you had to stay in a formation, 2 lines, 2x2. And we were about 1.5 to 2 miles out. And he's the cadre, one of the guys leading it, set a timer on his phone, random timer. I don't know how the hell he did it, but he did it. I tried to set a random timer. Anywhere between 3 to 5 minutes, when his timer goes off, if we're not where we're supposed to be, then he's going to add a casualty. So that sucker. So we got about 4 casualties in, and he tells me, he goes, "Hey, team leader, you're the next casualty."
Oh, shit.
So I'm, you know, 240 pounds, and they 3-man carried me. So So when you're carrying your casualty, the only rule was you couldn't piggyback.
So you had to fireman carry. You had to do something other than, because they would be alive then, right? Holding on to you.
Yeah, fireman, two man, whatever you needed to do. So they three man carry me. So I got my arms around two other guys that are a little bit taller than me. So they're probably 6'2", 6'3". And then my legs on the shoulders of a lady. She's probably 5'7". She's got her bag on, my bag on her front, a 30-pound team chain plus my legs, and we're running to where we started. And I did the first challenge with this woman, and she's a beast.
What's her name?
Rachel Wetzel. She's awesome. She, I mean,
beast mode. She,
yeah. But everybody in there, man, it's funny. You know, you get there, and it's the whole thing I like about it's immersion. At some point in time of the night, you lean on each other. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need you, and you're going to need me. And, you know, hell, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, and I needed her, and she picked my legs up, and off we went. I mean, you're backward dragging, like dummy dragging guys, 200 meters. We're lunging. I mean, it's 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning, and we're still working out. They're still, you know. But it's a great experience. And, right, I mean, it was – my shoulders were – I mean, I was cut. I still have – I can't – I have feeling in my fingers, but like this elbow, I have like really bad ulna pain.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Just from being in this position for 13 being twisted. Hours.
Do you have that same problem like when you're doing like...
I can't do those.
Me either.
No.
Well, I can, but if I do, that pain that comes within here is terrible.
No, it'll take your breath away. It's...
Yeah, what did you call it?
It's like it's ulna nerve. Your ulna nerve runs right through that track.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is, it's something either twisted, inflamed, something in there.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, you can rest or you can get a couple cortisone shots or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I just leave it because when it's dumbbell press time, like I got to, when I come down, it's kind of like, all right.
Oh. Try to go neutral grip. Your palms facing in.
Yeah.
That kind of keeps the twist of it out.
Okay.
So if I do push-ups, I do like my hands on a block or put my hands in blocks.
Okay, yeah.
So you can keep. Try that next time.
Yeah, well, yeah, good looking. Yeah, because I usually have to go a little wider than I like to, which is worse for your shoulders.
Yeah, just turn your palms.
More here on those. Oh, yeah.
But no, I was not right for a week. I mean, it's the sorest I've ever been in my entire. I stayed at my mom's place when I was there, and she's like, "How sore are you?" And I was like, "You don't understand, my eyelashes. I can't feel my eyelashes right now. I could feel my eyelashes.
Just throbbing.
I mean, just when I would blink, it would hurt to blink. Hurt to blink.
Dude, you 12 hours straight?
14.
14. And it's straight. No sleep, no rest, just always moving.
I bet you combined we had probably 20 to 30 minutes off where we were. But that's when we were learning knots or we were making sure we knew who was going to be carrying who. And that's what kind of strategy type.
Or peeing?
We would stop every now and then.
All right. I was like, yeah.
But, I mean.
That's intense, man. You posted a couple badass pictures on your Facebook page, too, man. One of them looked like the end of the Backdraft movie. Like, you were coming out. There was, like, fire somebody across your back or some shit. I was like, look at this hero, superhero motherfucker.
That was the guy. And he's a cool dude, too. I mean, again, you get to be really good friends when you got a guy's face right to either shoulder of you, you know. And,
for a couple hours, and you're like this. So, how you doing today, man? I'm all right.
And I'll tell you this, I mean, you don't think about it, but thank God he wasn't truly hurt because he could help manipulate the way he was sitting on my back. And it was great, though. But again, I was so sore. I was like, I'm never doing one again. I've done two. That's enough.
You're done? Sure. No more?
I think I'll do another one. they got me.
Yeah. I may have to try one with you, man. That shit's intense.
I'll tell you this, the only words of advice I was given was don't do one in Florida because we're so close to beaches. You'll spend 4, 5, 6 hours at a beach.
Yeah.
So I use it as an excuse to go home. You'll have sand places you don't want sand for days.
Yeah, the beaches, man. Oh, I don't know. The sun, the salt water, too. That stuff zaps some shit out of you.
Well, you start at 9 o'clock at night.
Well,
and, you know, but... Depending upon the time of year, sun could be up early, and you got 3-4 more hours to, get your clothes dried out in salt water. And
I'd say August and shit. Hell no, they wouldn't. They wouldn't do that.
I'm sure they would.
They would too. Right, right. Why not? Right. They'd run right in the middle of August or July. Sometimes is hotter. Right in one of those heatful fucking weeks on the beach with no clouds in the sky. 12-hour fucking race. Mm. No, man, I'm good. Some of those dudes are doing those ultra marathons, man. Like running 24 hours, 100 miles and shit.
I don't know how you do that.
What's that dude? Steve Renella does that stuff. The Hunter guy. That stuff's fucking insane. Like, my God, my knees would just be like, yeah, we're going to leave you now.
I can't. I was training for the half marathon, and it's like 90 minutes of running. I mean, you know, if you do a 9-minute mile pace, which isn't real slow, but it's not pushing either.
Yeah.
It's easy pace, 9-minute mile.
That's a coast, yeah.
It's 10 miles. You haven't even finished your half marathon in an hour and a half. I could watch some good movies and,
and have my knees still at the end of it.
My knees, my hips, my back.
There's a lot of that argument out there, right, that runners, long-term runners, truly, I mean, about it being healthy, but actually have really brittle bones when it comes to the thighs and knees, etc.
Because of the running?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I can see why. Going around, what's getting, I mean, it's not, it's been popular, just came on my radar not too long ago, is the pose running. Have you ever heard of that?
No, brother.
I haven't really looked into it, but it's more of a more of an upright angle with your body,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, remember how, I mean, at least I remember learning, like, you run heel-toe,
right,
with a little bit of a lean, and it's, you know, this sort of stuff, where this is, like, just your midfoot to forefoot,
oh, yeah,
striking the ground.
This is what they call it. What's it called?
Pose running.
I did not know that, what it was called. I was trying that.
And
yeah.
I could be mispronouncing that, but I think it's P-O-S-E running. And it's supposedly not quite as fast. Like, you know, you're not going to see the marathon guy that's running in 2 hours and change. He's not going to necessarily be doing that. But these guys that are doing these 50, the 100, even longer races, it's just, I guess, the way the body, that's the way the body was supposed to absorb everything. So it's not necessarily hitting your heel and striking all the way up to your low back. It's more or less, I haven't done anything with it, but.
I tried to fuck with it on the treadmill once when I heard about it when I was running, and it actually felt like it made me faster. It was kind of like, and my calves were more of a work.
Your calves are super sore.
It's awkward because you kind of feel unathletic because you're almost flat foot and you're running. You know, like you were saying, athletes were not raised to run like that unless you're in a full sprint and you're on your toes.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of awkward. You know, it was a different change.
No, it is. And it's, I've messed around with it a little bit. Treadmills, though, do it off of a treadmill because the treadmill is pushing you forward anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the whole, you know, you're getting that bounce in there.
Yeah.
So you get more of a true feel, I think, on the ground. But I haven't devoted enough time to for myself to say if it, you know, if it works for me or doesn't. But
I don't do long distance cardio, man. I don't do it. I'll take 30 minutes with Hindu squats and a little studio space in between my calisthenics, the, you know, a little 15-yard sprints, drill, back pedals, lunges, that little bit right there with a little 20-second interval rest. You do that for a half an hour, man. What do I need to be on a treadmill for an hour going, boom, 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 boom.
Tim Ferriss's 4-hour body. He's got that whole section in there where he went from a 5K to a 50K and I think in 8 weeks. But he did it without, I think one day a week was a long run. And by long run, it was like 6 miles.
Yeah.
Everything else was sprints. Everything else was, he upped his work capacity in the weight room or whatever he was doing and then translated it to, I'm going to get 1,000 yards of sprints in and you're smoked. I mean, you sprint for 1,000 yards, whatever, however you break it up, a 400, 300, however it is. I mean, that, you'll feel like you just ran 6 miles.
Fucking hurts.
You know?
If you're really sprinting.
So I have the book, and I've never even followed that pattern, but I always thought that was interesting. If I was going to do it, I'd want to maybe try to do it that way as opposed to, you know,
the long conditioned running.
A 16-mile run on Sunday morning just doesn't. I try. I want it to be appealing to me, but it's just not.
Yeah, I stopped doing things, like, I'll try them, right? I'll do things for a while. I mean, hell, I always say, I'll try it twice. I may have done it wrong the first time, you know, and I'll try after that, too. But, you know, with running, you know, it's, even if it's just shuffling, it's tiny little impacts over and over to the shins, to the knees, you know, for the most part. You know, so as you get older, you do 20, 30 years of beating up those knees like that, man. That shit's fucked up. I mean, weightlifting for the most part, and research keeps coming back, you know, lifting weights, you know, more kind of movement, aesthetic movement lifting, or what do they call them? Help me out.
Resistant drain?
No. I saw a guy online. He was doing some cool stuff with it. There's the term for it. There's so many terms now on exercise and nutrition, right. Dude. It's like, if I said something, I'd probably name something. Like, just name something that sounds, you know, health. You know, like the flex program. That's probably something. You know, I can't remember what the fuck, but whatever. Doesn't matter.
I'm that way right now with lifting. I try to pick one day a week where I can kind of go heavy. But then we're back in the WellFit season, the WellFit girls season. So they just started and we just did a yoga session. And
that's funny, man. You might be pulling right on this stuff, man. I like those pictures of you on the mat were great, man, doing your little stretch.
Yeah, you know, it really turned me on. I was like, you know what? This was so awkward and uncomfortable for me that this is probably something I should probably be working on a little bit. And, you know, what came to light, too, is I'm uncomfortable sitting on the floor with the kids. That ain't right. You know, I mean, I shouldn't be uncomfortable. So to that point, I just try to pick one day a week, maybe two, where I pick up something heavy or push something heavy, whether it be a sled or a bar or something. But then the other days a week, I just do body weight and just try to feel better, move better. And then I'm gonna start to incorporate the yoga because my triceps were on fire. I mean, she had us going through these different flow movements and my triceps were sore. My lats were sore just from being in that plank position.
Yeah.
Everything's engaged and, you know, you're concentrating on your breath. So you feel it in your core and it kicked my ass and we only did it for about 40 minutes.
No, I'm a huge fan. I thought it was that, you know, punk ass stuff like yoga shit. Remember we were talking about trying to make mental health masculine. And for all you masculine fuckers out there that pick things up and put them down. Yeah, that's the new little mission. We're, you know, trying to make mental health masculine, man. Pull those tough dudes that say they don't go through shit out of the closet. You go through shit, you know, but this yoga stuff. I, too, looked at it like, yeah, right. You know what I mean? Shit. I did some intermediate. I skip right over the beginner shit. You know me, right? I don't need the fucking instructions. You know what I mean? I just kind of jump straight to the, you know, holy shit, man. 45 minutes of that routine. Just like you said, dude, I'm shaking. My shit was, I was profusely sweating. You got to hold those positions with the breathing. I was like, no fucking joke.
Yeah. No, it's not a joke. It's, mm-mm. I mean, and they know what they're doing and it's. And just as a trainer, coach can, you know, let me group these two exercises together. Let me do this together, really kind of get them. They can go through a certain pose or a move. And, I mean, just it was awesome. So I really enjoyed it. I think that's kind of my next thing. I'm going to still want to lift just to feel like I'm moving something and pushing something.
Yeah.
But I want to do some yoga stuff, too.
Yeah. I like the change up, man. You know, I'm not very old. I'm 34. But, you know, you play football long enough and contact sports, et cetera. You shit hurts when you get older, you know? So, like Mark says and said, man, he's like, dude, you're getting older. You're lifting like an athlete. You know, it's pressure on your joints and your muscles and all this shit. Like, it's, you know, always look for different ways, man. That's why I do the kettlebell stuff, you know, the calisthenics. Try to play it up a little bit, switch it up.
Yeah.
I tried fucking tennis for the first time with my neighbor the other day. Yeah, dude, I'm terrible. I am so terrible. I'm not good at that game at all. You know how to play tennis?
Played when I was younger, honestly. But no, we play with a couple of tennis kids at the academy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just make us, you know, look silly. It is tough in the sense of you hit it too hard and it, you know, you'll hit it over the fence.
Yeah.
And then you dial it back and you can't even get it to the net. No, I'm with you. It's a hell of a game.
Well, he's never played either. So we didn't play tennis as much as we did just serve back and forth to one another. Right. But, you know, I'm not a fan of golf at all. I mean, I used to play back in the day. It's just it's a whole nature thing. But outside of not playing golf anymore, people that do play golf could relate that you may be terrible at the game, but you get that one shot on a par three and you're hooked for life. Well, we're out there playing and a court over from us. You know, I walk by what to me look like Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi in their prime. It's probably just dudes that live down the street, you know, and they're over there, you know, and I noticed he did this like double hand thing like this. I don't know what the fuck it's called, right? He did something like this.
Forehand?
Yeah, that. And my neighbor, he served one over, happened to be pretty slow and perfect. And so I wanted to mimic what that dude did. And man, all at once, dude, I nailed it. I mean, that ball was like, it curved, just barely cleared the net, gangster spin right on the corner. I was like, what? I mean, I will never do that again for another 2 years. But I was like, all right, I'm hooked a little bit.
You'll try again.
Yeah, I was like, that's pretty fucking cool. I was like, I get this tennis thing. And yeah, you're running back and forth when you do volleying. That's a bitch. That's a bitch.
They're in great shape.
Yeah, man. They even talk about that shit. Man, Mark is getting some love on this podcast. I mean, he talks about doing the play fitness, too. Remember, he does the Frisbee stuff. He does something new every week. That's kind of what I was picking that up as I tried racquetball the week before that, and then I was playing tennis the week.
Okay.
So it's play athlete fitness. It's where you're always doing something. He's got a group that they play like this Frisbee football with or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he sees it as trying to jump up and catch something moving, full body movement, sports kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that part's included, too.
Sure. All right. I'm glad I bought the book.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Fuck, Mark, give me some love or something, dude. Give me a shout out, man. We gave you like fucking a half an hour of love on this motherfucker. So my brother actually asked me, he was up in Kodiak, right? He asked me about the WellFit Girls program, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of what it was. You know, I think if he's asked me about something, it's because he's thinking about could he do a branch? Kodiak, so.
Sure.
I mean, you talked about it a lot last time, but I mean, tell more. I love the program. You know, maybe he's a listener too, so educate his ass at the same time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So Kodiak would be a cool fit for the simple fact of how it was founded. Jill Wheeler founded the WellFit Institute, and she's a psychotherapist, mental health therapist, she was a Jill. Forgive me if I'm wrong. I think she was pretty close to being a professional rock climber, kite surfer. So her big love is to take, you know, the side of therapy with the side of outdoor adventure and put them together. So. There you go, WellFit Institute. It's kind of like some outdoor therapy type stuff.
Are they hiring?
Well, she's fine. She's...
Well, there's a lady out there named Susan Brenner. Maybe they could just join forces. She does that in Naples, Fort Myers. She does adventure therapy is what she calls it down there.
And that's similar to what Jill did. And I'm sure they probably know one another colleague-wise.
Yeah.
They
were on the podcast, actually.
Really?
Way back in the Naples days. Back when I was filming with a shitty laptop camera in my therapy office with Leo. Oh, it was terrible. Oh, I was bald and 235 pounds.
Those are the days.
Yeah. They were cool, man. Her boyfriend? Husband? Damn, Steve. I can't remember. Wow, dude. He was like one of the top ranked whitewater rafters and guides in the country.
Okay.
Yeah, that dude was badass, man. And so he would do all the guiding on these whitewater rapids and kayak tours and stuff,
right.
And she's doing the therapy. Sorry to interrupt you, but I love that concept.
So same idea. So you're familiar with it.
Yeah, Jill's killing it, though. I love this idea, though.
So she started, she worked for Outward Bound.
Mm.
So
been around a long time.
All of that put together, all of her passions, all of her loves, she came up with the WellFit Girls program, and it is a five-month leadership and fitness program. We have a curriculum written. We spent the last year and a half writing a curriculum and put these girls through this program. Meet twice a week. One day is leadership group. One day is fitness. And we get them ready for their excursion to Peru. So at the end of their 5 months, we go down and do a community service, cultural exchange, service project, if you will.
Drink some ayahuasca.
Unfortunately, not with the minors.
Roxy, you hear Roxy behind you having a conniption?
She's way over there.
I'm just trying to look. That's not Andrew or me or anybody else you don't see on camera making those awful grunting noises. That's my little baby Roxy in the background.
She's all right.
No, sorry for the joke. But so you go to Peru?
We go to Peru, and so the whole idea is it's an empowerment leadership group.
I love that.
We do social entrepreneurship. We do just getting these girls in situations where, you know, they have to find out, you know, they got to dig deep and find out the best version of themselves. One of the big things, you know, we all face, and you talk about the masculinity and this sort of thing, those guys that say they don't go through anything, you know they're lying, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, we'll all come to the point when we know we're going through something. We just, you know, for me, it was a year and a half ago when I realized I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So these girls, the big thing is, if I had to tell you, they all say they want to gain confidence or self-esteem. Those are probably the two biggest issues when we talk to them in the interview process about what are they looking to really gain for this or from this. And we really put them in situations where they know that what they are, what they have been through, who they are, where they are, is supposed to be. We just give them the tools and the skills to get to their version of leadership, get to their version of how do they show up in the world and how do they offer and give back and all those sorts of things. So that's kind of the program really in a nutshell. 5 months, twice a week. It all ends with this cultural exchange and service project. And we trek for 3 days. We do a trail in Peru and end up at Machu Picchu and climb Machu Picchu and just see the, I think it's the eighth wonder of the world now. Is that right?
Yeah.
And just to be there. I mean, it's such a amazing, I mean, talk about, you posted something about feeling so small or feeling so, you know, talk about putting you in a place where, I mean, you realize like I am a speck on top of a speck that's on top of a speck in this whole grand scheme of things. But no, it's a great program. And so to that point about expansion, I know it's in the works.
Yeah.
When we'll be ready to expand and when we'll be ready to do those things. I mean, unfortunately, you know, I don't have that call. But WellFit Girls Program of Southwest Florida, we are a nonprofit. So we went through the whole gamut to get all of our stuff there. So, you know, we have the girls fundraise. Some girls are, you know, they can write a check and for their share of what it's going to cost to go through the program. But the girls that can't, we put them in fundraising opportunities.
Trying to find ways to help them out.
All the time. And that's the social entrepreneurship and getting them over the awkwardness of asking. Because I think it's the way people frame it. It's, you're not asking for money for yourself. You're asking for an investment or you're asking for, you know, here's something that I want to do. You know, tell me the story why you want to do it. And then people are going to be inclined to give and to help. And so just showing them different things. Techniques, strategies. So yeah, we started end of January. We go end of June.
Wow, so twice a week for 5 months. That's a long, lengthy program too. I like that.
It is, and we've talked and kicked some ideas around about doing, you know, shorter versions and that sort of stuff. The biggest idea we kicked around too, and we talked a little bit last time, was your brother can obviously attest, and you can attest, having been a coach. My big push is to be able to, we're going to have a boys version, a guys version of this.
Yeah.
Because I see what it's done for female, for that young, you know, vulnerable age.
Mm-hmm.
And even the ones that come in strong come out stronger. And the ones that come in, you know, not sure what the hell to do with themselves, they're the testimonials and stuff are on, you know, you can read them on the website. They're good. I mean, even parents of girls that have been through the program are phenomenal.
Yeah, shout out to Jill Wheeler and the WellFit program. And I think it's good, man. And the more we talk about, you know, when I say making mental health masculine, I get some people that kind of get mad because when you today use the word masculine in social media, a lot of people don't like that. You know, you start to separate the genders, and it's serious. And, yeah, I got some emails about, you know, putting that out there, making mental health masculine. And my whole double up pitch is, I still will say it, I do want to make mental health masculine. It's part of a little mission I'm on, is that notion that women too, girls too, have been taught to tough it out, have been taught to hold it in, you know, be a man, if you will, be masculine about it, you know, be strong. You know, women too, young girls.
And big girls don't cry or whatever.
That's, yeah, there you go. That's way better. Big girls don't cry, right? And so you see this kind of thing, and you know, they're taught that shit. And so you got these tough boys that are running around, some with no father, some with no mother, some with both, though. And there's no, you know, Mike Williams, who comes on the podcast, talks about, you know, there's no model for them to look at, you know, to learn these principles and things of life from, you know. And, you know, some of that part is difficult for me, you know, to, I don't know, I got way back off track, man. Bring me back in, Steve.
Mental health.
Yeah, mental. Well, yeah, I webbed so far out. My thoughts start to come back, but they're taught, you know, sometimes by life experience, by force of where they are in their life, and by the models in their life, and by this society. And we're gonna act like mental health doesn't affect a male, You know, I mean, I think that's why you see the aggression sooner. You see the, you know, big problems. You know, I'm all for like bringing awareness to mental health and shit. Like, but fuck, I think we're aware it exists. Can we do something fucking about mental health now, please? And so I guess for me, trying to tell those dudes out there, those real dudes that you train, that you see, that we are, you know, is trying to say, look, man, when you're going through that, you don't have to play the martyr. You know, you don't have to think, well, those around me are going through more shit, so it doesn't matter. You know, I think families are only as strong as their weakest link. And if the cornerstone of the family happens to be the male and he's hiding the depression, well, fuck, your family's going to, it's only, without that cornerstone, the whole damn house falls over.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that, I mean, you know, and go back, because we talked a little bit about this last time, you know, that's been my biggest thing is taking care of me first. You know, you're on the airplane and they tell you before it goes down, put your mask on first before you put on your kid's mask. And it's one of those ones where if you're not healthy, if you're not who you can, should, want to be, how are you showing up, you know, for the family? And to go back to the whole mental health thing is just, it's just that. It's just, I did it. And it wasn't necessarily depression. It was simply, here I am, and I said something about this the other day. Here I am. Here's where I want to be. How do I close that gap? How do I have that, you know, I got to have people around me. So, you know, you get into these groups or these masterminds where you're not alone. Be okay with saying, I fucked up, or be okay with saying, I don't know. Ask for help. Those sorts of things, when you realize, hey, you're not by yourself, and there is a group or a place for you to go and find those answers, the support, if you will, it makes it all that much easier to attack or to, you know, to own up that, you know, I am deficient in some way, shape, or form, or I am looking for these things. And that's what drives me right now, is that knowing, again, talked a lot about just the gift and responsibility of being a dad and of being a father and those sorts of things. It's about time to draw the line in the sand and just say, you know, fuck it. Let's go. And if I'm at my age, I just turned 39. So if at my age I'm going through this, there's got to be a 19 through a 49-year-old going through the same thing for various reasons. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of my best friends, a fraternity brother of mine, just lost his wife. Mm. God forgive me. A month ago, month and a, you know, 5 weeks ago, she was 42, battled breast cancer, but his whole world changed, shifted, you know. And it was a terrible thing, you know. And again, his son's a year older than my son, his daughter's a year older than my middle, and it just hits you, you know, it hits you in the feels.
Yeah.
And it's tough. And so there's there is that void, and there's a couple great groups out there, and I want to be another great group out there where it can be just a community of young men to go and how do I better my health, my wellness, my wealth, my relationships, style. Fuck, who doesn't want to look and feel good?
Yeah.
You know, I'm letting the beard grow as long as my wife will let me, just because I want to try a bunch of different beard oils and shit, you know.
Yeah.
But all of those things, from the inside stuff to the outside stuff, there's a couple great places, and I want to be one of those to where people can go and pick and choose. I mean, there's so much talking about the book that we're still doing. there's going to be a segment on how to cook, how to make beer, how to distill your own rum. I mean, just stuff that guys want to do.
Yeah.
But there's not a... So I basically have taken a lot of stuff that I like from a lot of different people and just kind of put it all together.
Yeah, and your own thing.
And WellFit has helped for the simple fact of I can see at that young age that there's so much that's needed. It's not gotten. So then what happens? You can only expect it to, you know, extrapolate itself from an 18-year-old that doesn't get it to a 28-year-old
mm-hmm.
that's trying to figure shit out on his own.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to ask questions.
No. No, most of them want. It's the fear of stupid, too, of asking the question. Yeah.
So they don't want to ask, so they just kind of flounder and go through this dark room about not knowing.
And mental health has such this negative, because look, I'm sorry, It's mainly men too, so I'm gonna be specific on a gender. I even know some that will say that, you know, I don't believe in mental health. You know, they don't believe in the diagnosis of, you know, bipolar, depression, et cetera, that it's natural occurring of life and et cetera. And I get those arguments and et cetera. And for me, even when I say making mental health masculine, for me, it's not about even trying to convince those that these things aren't natural. My whole point is trying to say that, yes, these things are natural. You know, you are right. So whether you call it, excuse me, man. Battling that thing. So whether you decide to call it the label depression, you know, mental health, etc., or anxiety, bipolar, whatever, doesn't matter. Just the idea that you can come out and still feel the idea that you are tough, you still are that strong woman, that strong man, that, hey, look, I'm going through something, I can't connect it. Like, it's sad as fuck some days, you know, and just to be able to get that shit out is what I mean, you know?
No, and that goes to what we started a long time ago, talking about the vulnerability with the book Daring Greatly.
Yeah.
That's just it. The strength is coming from you saying and you finally owning, I don't know, or I've had a shit day, or but I'm not going to stay there.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to stay there. You know, Dr. Hoffman is who you had on.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Bobby Hoffman.
One of the things I love that he said was, and it resonated with me, was how, and not intrinsically, I don't forget the word he used, but if there is that gap of who you are and who you want to be.
Yeah, the gap between the ideal self and the actual self.
Right. You're going to want to close that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's all really. When you told me last time, when, you know, you kind of woke up, or you know, when anybody wakes up, I think that's really all they're doing is they're realizing that I'm here. I really want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And the vulnerable, to use that term for all genders, masculine part of it, strong strength part of it, for me is admitting that I'm right here, but I want to go way up here.
Yeah.
And I'm just on this journey to figure out how to get here. And before I leave, I'm going to get as close to that, if not past that. And that's really kind of what I want to model or to show my kids and then anybody else who's watching, putting stuff on Facebook or doing any of that stuff. It's just basically, I'm not where I want to be, so I'm trying to get there. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. If it doesn't speak to you, it doesn't speak to you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt me.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm doing something not only for myself, but also for the younger ones, so that they see me as somebody who, for lack of better terms, if he doesn't have what he wants or needs, he's going to find a way to get what he wants or needs, as opposed to being entitled, or as opposed to just the whole woe is me, you know. But
have you noticed a difference in interaction with your kids since starting this stuff?
100%, man. It's
no shit.
We, you know, there's a, I think the podcast is called The Good Dad Project. I could be misquoting that. I'll have to. But yes, he talks about how he starts his kids' days off with three questions. And I'm going to get those questions all wrong. Yeah, The Good Dad Project. And it is just basically three questions. And I don't even use the same ones he uses. But it's just 2 to 3 questions to empower your kids when they start the day.
That's what you meant on the podcast when you on your AM Insight when you said, "All right, you got to run home and ask the three power questions." I went, "Power? What are those? What?"
So all I simply do with my kids, and again, they're 7 and 4, and it's legitimately, did you have a good sleep? My son calls it rest, daughter sleep. But did you have a good rest? You feel good when you woke up? I mean, you know, it's kind of tired, but I felt good.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to today? And then what would have to happen today to make it the perfect day?
Huh.
And again, 7 and 4, they don't know. Aiden, my oldest, he's like, today's PE, so that's going to be a good day. You know, seriously. Or I got technology today, and we're getting ready we're going to write the code for the robot that we made out of Legos. Okay, so that makes it a good day for him. My 4-year-old, she just wants to write in her journal at school.
Okay.
So they cop. She's learning how to write and put sentences together and stuff. So that's all she wants to do. So a point in the podcast and the point of those questions and all that sort of stuff is just set the tone for the day. You know, so that's, to me, it's like set the compass.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to if I can go through those three questions and I'm just looking for those throughout the day,
yeah,
the other little shit that used to aggravate me or get me worried or get me anxious or whatever, I don't even pay attention to it because I'm looking for those things as opposed to looking for the other stuff.
Yeah, it's that set out direction. I like that, man.
So that's where I got it from, and that's
you know, it's that last cool idea. Hell yeah, that last question. It sounds like he pulled that directly from. There's a form of therapy that's hit it big over the last couple of years called solution focused brief therapy, and it's a theoretical application applied where it's known to be linked to what we call the miracle question. And the miracle question in solution focused brief therapy is: all right, Andrew, if you went to bed tonight and a miracle happened and you woke up, what would that have been? And that is basically the center of solution-focused brief therapy, asking that question.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I could have gotten those questions. Those are the ones I use with them.
That's cool. I love that stuff. I mean, that's anytime I've asked people that question, too, they kind of back up, and they're like, wow, you don't really think about it. I didn't know. Maybe once a week or so. I got to find more time. I used to do it when we ate the family dinners. Mm-hmm. But now it's kind of randomly once a week where I ask three questions. That's neat. It's how's your head? How's your heart? How's your spirit?
Oh, cool.
You know what I mean? And just real quick. And then I'll look at her sometimes because, you know, 16-year-old don't want to talk to you that much sometimes. Actually, she talks a lot. Wonder where she gets that shit from. So I'm like, how's this?
Apple tree.
She'll answer, you know, how's this? She'll answer, all right, how's this? You know, and I get my little questions, and I'm doing all right here, just trying to help the understanding that there's a separation, you know, between, you know, like different it. Where we're at, you know.
I like that.
A 9-year-old looks at you like, what's a, they're all the same, hungry and give me a cookie. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's just to make sure, and again, questions even too, not every day, I take it a little step further too with my son that I pick up. It's the, how was your day? And then what was the best part of your day? And the whole thing is when he gets back in the car, it's just simply to make him think about what was the good part of the day. Because the whole next chapter of the day or the next phase of the day is starting. He's getting ready to go to work with me, and he's got to do homework, which he's not looking forward to. And then he's got to go home and, you know, it's just this. So it's just kind of a more of a, I don't know if grounding is the right word, but just to bring back the positive part. And plus, I like to hear it.
Yeah.
What was the good part about your day?
Yeah.
You know, and then the other one sometimes I'll ask him is, you know, how are your friends? How are your buddies doing?
That's cool. Again, I like that idea. Getting them thinking about my friends and kind of taking themselves selfishly out of the... That's cool. I like that question.
And then just because eventually it lays the seed for... My mom and dad were super good friends with all of my friends in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to hate it.
Can't get away with shit.
We all hated it. But that's why they did it. And it's laying that seed that... I want to know how your buddies are doing.
Yeah.
I know all your mom and, you know, I know all the, you know, his class is pretty small. He's only got like 14 or 15 kids in his class. The other first grade, there's like another 15. So combined, say there's 30, 32 kids, families.
Yeah.
You get to know those guys pretty quick. So you see each other all the time at school, and it's just to let him know that it's not about you. How are your buddies? And sometimes he'll say that, you know, one of his buddies lost a tooth and it, you know, he's in a lot of pain, or, you know, there's a kid that hurt himself at recess, and, you know, just it's a little bit of empathy, a little bit of compassion, a little bit of everything that...
Get outside, you know, yourself a little bit.
Yeah, like it is not all about you. It'll never be all about you, so...
Yeah, I dig that, man.
So, well, so to the original question, yeah. How's it all been since?
Yeah.
I've been just a lot more present. I said the other day too, like I came home and it was funny. You got to meet my 7-year-old because again, he's the oldest and he's just laid back pretty much. And I get home and the two younger ones are girls. They're crying, 18 months and 4. One's crying because she doesn't want to wear those pants that her mom put on her. And the other one's just crying because she's 18 months and I don't know if she's whatever she was. But I really took a step back and I could have walked into there and started putting my agenda on everybody. Sit down, be quiet, you go put your shoes on, shut up about your pants, they're fine. Why is she crying? Is she got to, you know, as opposed to walking in and just being calmer and looking for solutions as opposed to adding to the problem.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, you don't like your pants, let's go put on a different pair of pants. Tears stopped within 5 seconds.
Imagine that.
You know, baby's crying, she just wanted a bottle, and my wife was getting herself dressed and didn't get her the bottle in enough time. So It wasn't anything crazy, but I could have made it crazy. So I think all of it put together has just been, it's been neat to see. Now, I mean, I haven't asked them if they notice. You know, my wife notices, so that's, that's good.
Okay.
She just, you know, notices that, hey, you're, that's not like you, you know, and just little things too. I mean, we make it a point to do date night every week.
I love that.
You know.
You got to.
We take the kids out on dates, so they earn stuff, so it'll be a special date with dad or mom or both of us, and then mom and dad are going out, and we don't take them out every week, but if there's something big that they do, or they, you know, report cards came out or what have you, but just give them some special time and putting sticky notes in lunch boxes or putting a I love you sticky note on my wife's dashboard when she doesn't know. And, you know, just, it's just about being more.
Yeah.
You know, and
I like that, man. Do you? I think you reach a lot of those guys. I mean, you got a great review on iTunes. I think you kind of do stand for that, man. It's kind of that mental health masculine, that wake up idea of being more than just that loud alpha.
I didn't think of this before you said it and before listening to that podcast, and I've heard you say it a couple times, but I never. Whenever I would hear mental health, I always thought of something being wrong.
Ah, yeah, sure. Like it's weakness, right?
Well, or that it meant depression, or it meant all of these conditions. But the more I heard you say it, mental health, like, those are two good words.
Right.
Why are we giving them a bad...
It has a terrible stigma.
You know, so when you say that, that's what the light bulb that went off for me was, mental health is just, to me, it's simply getting better. We're all fucked up. I mean, clinically, we may not be.
Could probably classify just about everybody.
Right, but by some definition, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
But we're all looking, we're all striving, we're all trying, at least I would hope that we're all in some way, consciously or unconsciously, closing that gap. And that's mental health. Mental health isn't, yes. And I'm speaking just for me. To me, that's mental health. I'm trying to better the health of my mindset.
Yes.
If I said physical health, hey, shit, guy's trying to get in better shape.
You know it, right?
You say mental health, everybody's like, oh, he must be depressed.
I say brain health, gut health, physical health. I mean, hell, there's emotional health now and emotional IQ, right? But when you mental health, people are like, oh, bipolar, depression, right? You're right.
And I always thought about it that way, or I would at least subconsciously let that word float through my head as I heard it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until, again, me going through that, where it's just simply you're trying to make yourself stronger mentally.
Yeah.
And that's going to be different for everybody, but to me, when you say mental health, to make mental health more masculine, it's just to say, hey guys, wake up. You don't have to be this hard ass all the time.
Yeah.
Because you're probably not a hard ass to begin with. And if you are, to me, you're going to admit when shit's going wrong.
Mm. I mean, we teach our kids too. So when you can come out about what's going wrong, then your kids feel more comfortable and going, hey, I haven't felt good this last week in my mind.
And I like into those questions. It's like you know, how's your head? I'm not good.
Yeah.
And it gives her, your child, a place to voice that. And she's not going to, you know, think you're trying to diagnose or anything. It's just simply you give them a space to talk. And that's the other big thing is I never did before is I never, you know, they talk about how can you become more connected with your kids or, you know.
Listen.
Give them the space to talk instead of talking to or at them. And thinking that you know best, I've learned more in the last year from my kids than I wish I had started earlier because I missed out 6 years of one and three of another.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Mine is not afraid to tell me when I'm stupid. She's quick to be like, mm-mm.
I was about to say, it has a double-edged sword, right?
Oh, doesn't it?
You give them enough space and they just let you.
Yeah. Then they're like, mm-mm. You know what I mean? So it is. It's a fine line to walk too, but, you know, with mental health for me also, even health in general, we have to somehow in this country, I think it's slowly starting. I think there is a revolution going on. But to switch from this reactive medicine, reactive health care, and reactive mental health care to a preactive mental health care, you know, to being preactive ahead of time and being ready. And so when I say mental health or mental health training or mental health awareness, for me, that's looking at mental health from a preventative standpoint.
Sure.
One of my favorite metaphors I use all the time is you don't change the oil on the car after the engine blows. You know, most people come to therapy, the engine's fucking blown already, and you want me to change the oil? Fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Once a week for 6 months, homeboy ain't going to do it. You know what I mean? We need 6 hours a day for weeks. You know, so go to mental health or get mental health training before the engine blows. Keep changing the oil on that shit, you know? Find the mentors. Find the AMN sites. You know, find the people that you can reach out to and become more aware and admit those things, man. That's really where I like to push it to, I mean. That's where I like aiming it at.
No, I think it's needed.
I guess so, man.
I like how you put it, revolution. I think that's...
We do. It's got to change, man, because we can't just act like, no, I'm good. You know, I'm going through shit. You know, I mean, you can't do it, man. We got to. I mean, and it's guys like you, I think, that change it, too. It takes everybody to do that. I mean, you got a following that loves you, that's, you know, from athlete trainers to dads that I see that comment on your stuff that like you. I mean, you're a huge fucking inspiration to anybody in that realm of making the mental health ideal masculine. And I saw you got a chance to bring up what you were doing on the ESPN radio show down there, that 99.3 show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with Brent Richard?
Brett. Brett Richard.
I like Brett. That's my middle name.
Oh, there you go.
I'm biased.
Did he ever reach out to your contact
to
follow you? Yeah, I told him about it. That was a neat experience, too. I met him a few years ago when he was working on the magazine down there, and he's got an awesome fitness background where I don't give away too much on him, but I mean, he was a trainer to the stars up in New York and, you know, worked with some high level people. And, anyhow, he started Fit Project Radio, and his whole take on that was flip on ESPN radio, any city USA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in time, if they're not on a commercial break, they're going to be talking about NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, you know, the whole gamut.
All the acronyms.
His point was, that's great for the, you know, 2% of athletes out there being talked about. There's not a radio show out there or a platform where the 98% of athletes or the weekend warriors or health professionals and all that sort of stuff are getting talked about. Like, what's going on locally, health and wellness and fitness-wise, that we can promote?
Because there's so much, man. These races you do, the events and marathons. There's tons of fitness stuff out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's at least a run a week down in Naples. There's, you know, probably 6 or 7 different versions of sprint triathlons or half Ironmans down there. I mean, there's tons of CrossFit boxes. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. So he came up with this idea and started this radio show. Pitched it to the company who owns that, and they gave him an hour on Sunday morning. And it's from 8 to 9 a.m., 99.3. I think it reaches Sarasota, maybe a little bit more north of Sarasota, all the way down through Marco.
Yeah.
And you're about 40, 50 miles inland, 30, 40 miles, you know, over the water if you're out there. And it's got a decent reach. He said he's got anywhere between, you know, 30 to 60,000 listeners on a given Sunday throughout the hour.
Yeah.
But no, it was a neat experience. It was funny being live.
Yeah, because like you are now.
Yeah, time just goes. And he's got from 8 to 9, and you're watching the clock, and it's just, you know, it's ticking away, and he's got things he wants to get to and talk about. And but it was a neat experience, and he and I are going to work together with some things for WellFit that I think are going to be really big fundraising-wise and also...
Didn't you do some? I saw some. It looked like a fundraiser you guys did together, or you're filming something like an NFL Combine thing?
So Brett came over to Total Athletic Performance and did a little bit of a path to the Combine with the guys that are down right now. They're finishing up their Combine/Pro Day training and interviewed 4 guys and filmed them, you know, doing some field drills and that sort of stuff. So what he put out there on Facebook was his, like, first little, you know, 2-minute version of stuff, the B-roll footage and that sort of stuff. But he's going to put together a 25 to 30 minute clip that will air on fitprojectradio.com,
mm-hmm.
kind of like his video blog and that sort of stuff. Just like how the NFL Network does Path to the Draft or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what he did over 3 days.
Well, because all those guys are coming through TAP down there training anyway. I mean, you guys got a ton of NFL scout people and college people training down there at TAP with you and Derek, right?
Right. So he got the 4 guys that were in town, and it was good. So that's what you saw video-wise. So Colby Hayes-Winkle, the director of the program down there, and I talked on the radio about the program and just bring awareness to you know, Southwest Florida. And then Brett came over to Total Athletic Performance and did some stuff with the college athletes.
Oh, that's badass, man.
That was fun.
Hell yeah, dude. I think we covered all those things, man. You got another race you're going to do? You say you're going to do another one.
I haven't even looked at the schedule, but...
if you find one for a beginner Native American guy that you'd like to train with together, I'm in.
All right.
I'll do one of these fucking crazy things with you. I got to check that shit off. I got two things that I put on Facebook I'm going to do this year. Stand up and read and audition for a play. I got a solid 20 minutes, 25 minutes of stand-up. Now, I say solid, and I don't mean solid like it's solid material. I mean, I can talk for 20 minutes about this shit. You know what I mean? Probably a minute and a half of maybe something half funny. You know, so I've been wanting to try that this year and read for a play I wanted to do. I never got a chance. I was decent in high school, and Miss Loniker, shout out to you if you're out there, Miss Loniker. I love you. I stayed at her house one night when my parents would get kind of loud and violent, and she knew that, and I'd go all the way to Windermere, and she was so neat, and I was going to be in a play, but I was also the linebacker buddy, and linebackers aren't in plays in high school, not where I'm from. It wasn't masculine, and she wanted me to, and I'm like, I mean, nope, can't do it, no lady, and I'd put it down. I never tried. My brother now, this fucking guy, on top of being Mr. fucking Joe Remington Hunter, well, he's a bow hunter guy, this guy read for a play in town called Tony and Marie's Prime Rib Wedding. Right? It's a pretty famous Broadway thing that people know about, right? This guy, he played Tony, right? He played Tony, this Italian guy, and this whole thing. And I watched him go play Tony. He was fucking good. My brother was good. And anyway, he got the agent that was working with him, got him a cast after that. He did a few Tony, whatever.
Wait, this isn't in high school? This is...
No, this is... He's a grown-ass man. He's an adult. Yeah, this is much later. And, gets sent up to, it'll, the time frame will set itself in a second. He gets his primal ass gets sent up to New York, you know, staying in a little box, shit everywhere. His agent gets him a Fruit Loops commercial because he does these voiceovers. He's fucking hilarious. And he did, you know, the three toucan nephews from Fruit Loops? There's like the three little ones.
Okay.
He was one of the little ones and one of the little nephews. And so he'll do the voice. I'll get his ass to do it on the show on Sunday. But he did that. And then anyway, he got asked to come read for this little upcoming show that was coming out that they were calling The Sopranos.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, and he got a chance to go read, and he made the first couple cuts. And it looked to be that he may be one of the people in the final to be in this show. Well, he couldn't take New York fucking city, and he was losing his southern mind, and he left. He fucking left. He just said, I can't do this New York shit anymore, man. I'm losing my country mind. And he left, and then we all know what happened with The Sopranos, right? Yeah, so I'm like, and he was good, you know? So I'm like, you know what? I will fucking read for something. My grandma used to take me to a play every Christmas. It was like our thing. And she took me to my favorite, still my favorite, To Kill a Mockingbird. And that was, I love that play. And we did it every year all the time. And I always used to watch, and they're very small plays. They weren't these giant ones. She'd always find these, like, hole-in-the-wall sure. community playhouses. And I was like, and somebody put me in some Storyteller Community Playhouse group on Facebook 2 days ago. I didn't ask to do any of that. I'm not even involved with that shit. And I'm like, I'm not going to take myself out of that group because I told myself I would fucking audition this year. So I stayed in this, whatever this group is, and I posted today. I was like, hey, can I read for anything? You got some shit coming up? You know, so I'm going to give it a fucking shot.
Now, what about the stand-up? Where can you, locally, right. There's got to be places.
Well, there's tons, and I'm being honest right now. I bitched out the first time. My buddy Mike, right? He did stand up for a while. He's like, oh, you want to do stand up? You want to go tomorrow? He's like, I'll take you to a place right now.
Not tomorrow.
Yeah, I played the whole random bullshit. You know what I mean? I think I read this shit for you once, I think, in Naples. I was driving, and I had a couple minutes I read for him and somebody else and just freestyled it once. But I'll get there. I'll speak in front of 2,000 people for an hour with no problem. I want to do 5 minutes in some pub with strangers I don't know of where I'm supposed to be funny, and I still get a little nervous.
Hey, I can imagine.
And you listen to enough comedians and they tell you, oh, you get the shit boot out of you the first fucking decade of your life doing, you know what I mean? So you're like, all right, I need to go get beat up.
Yeah, it's kind of what it feels like.
That's it.
Mm. Oh, I love that, man. Well, what are we on? How long have we been going, dude?
Hour 45.
Oh, we're killing it, man. We're killing it. Well, let's wrap up, bud. anybody you want to put out there, man, some love. We catch up on everything. I mean, hell, you're doing 50 fucking things, man.
No, yeah, we did. I mean, my next big thing is, like I said, we talked again last time about the Mansformation Project.
Yeah.
And so that's getting ready to get launched.
Is there a website or anything else?
Not yet. I just purchased my own blog, my own andrewmoranti.com.
Okay.
But so that'll be the housing of it, kind of taking your lead there with your website. And
just took other people's leads too.
But no, that's exactly right. So yeah, that's going to be the group where it's the everything from the health, wellness to the wealth / relationship / fitness / style /
So cooking. It's a blog, podcast, whole thing?
Yeah.
Who's producing it?
I don't know.
Steve produces podcasts, right?
Steve is going to produce it.
He can help you.
No, seriously, anybody out there.
Builds websites. That's what he does, man.
Build websites, too.
I'm going to need all the help just because, again, we talked about can't do it by yourself.
That's all you need right there.
But it's just the whole deal, man. It's about getting it out there and helping people. So for me, it's the well fit right now. That's driving. It's the Mansformation Project.
I love that. That's cool as shit, dude.
The
I like that.
The everything. And then, you know, my daily stuff is at Total Athletic Performance, and that's just I do enjoy it, no doubt. But again, there's something eating inside of me is trying to claw out that's getting there. So, you know, again, like I say on the AM Insights, I'm just trying to level up, be better, be a better dad, be a better husband, be a better me.
Did you get me fucking going? Just fucking hanging with you, man. I'm not kidding, dude. That's why I'm telling you. I dig your AM Insights shit, man. You're like...
Well, and that means I really do appreciate that. I'm grateful for that because that's why. I missed a couple and somebody, you know, texted me and said, hey, what happened to it? Where is it? And I know that no matter... I just got to get them out there. And sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not good. Sometimes it's what I'm reading. Sometimes it's... Today I posted a video. I brought my Great Dane over to a play date, and fucking the Great Dane climbs from the way back of the Tahoe.
Big
to
ass
the front
fucking
seat.
Dog.
And it was just that whole idea. So I was like, hey, fuck it. You know, I'm going to video this and I'll just throw it out there. So
yeah.
It's having fun. It's having fun. That's all I'm doing.
I think it's a lot more for me than having fun and doing it for me anyway, because you know how you can select the people that you see on your news feed, you know, on Facebook.
Right.
And you're the one, because I know when I wake up in the morning, you know what I don't want to see are all those news feeds that are saying somebody blew up something, somebody
sure.
corrupt, somebody blew up something. I like that news later.
Yeah.
I don't like to wake up and go, oh, the world's still ending. You know what I mean? I like to wake up and be like, all right, insight. All right, what's this fucker going? You know what I mean? You read some, you say some, they're short enough, they're on point, you know, and you can't say more awesome as your tagline at the end.
Go be awesome.
That's fucking dig it, man.
That's great, man. Appreciate it.
You sure we hit everything?
Yeah, now you're making my wheels spin.
Yeah, it's just podcast remorse. I say it at the end of every podcast now.
Do you still ask people questions?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I didn't know if that was...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I'll probably think of something tomorrow. no, honestly, if anybody out there, as far as finding me, doing any of that stuff, I spend a lot of my time right now, obviously, Facebook. I started with the Snapchat. I got some high schoolers helping me out with how to figure out Snapchat. I think that's pretty cool and fun.
How old's your oldest?
7.
You got some time.
I do.
Morgan's my secret weapon for online marketing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm like, look, my buddy Jeremy Pound, who is very successful marketing guy at 33 down in Boca or whatever, this young guy, I'm like, maybe you should think about, you know, working your way up, man, because she'll look at me and go, why did you post this? Because you need to change this. You should do it like this. I'm like, okay. And I listen, man, because she knows her shit. She runs all this One Direction stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Oh, so those two places, look me up there.
What's the Twitter?
Twitter at N8Fit. So N8FIT. And that was, we talked about that last time. N8 Fitness and Wellness is another little deal.
N8Fit. And then you got your WellFit girls. But when does AndrewMoranti.com come up, man?
Legitimately just got it on Thursday. So I'm going to be in the trenches and possibly emailing Steve and figuring out how to get this thing live and published and hosted and all that sort of stuff. But it's just going to start dumping some content. So whatever I put on Facebook, I'm going to put obviously there, and we're going to build out some different, you know, I have an idea who I want to steal from and make it look like, and that's
this is the man. I'm telling you, brother, any website thing, okay. He's nice enough to let me vent about what ideas I like, and will even be nice enough to change them and give me what I want. And then I come back and go, you're right. And it happens all the time.
So just listen to Steve.
Yes. Don't be me. And Steve just looks at me and he eventually goes, oh, really? Sounds good. And I'm like, yeah. And I'll call him and I'm like, yeah, I think you're right, dude. I was way fucking wrong. You know, so I would tell you, man, he's the secret behind it. He's, you know, if he's producing the podcast, you know, from the technical standpoint and the pushing me right directions, focus, Steve is fucking man, dude.
Duly noted.
Love this dude. And I love you.
Ditto. Love okay. you guys.
I'll make you say it. See, mental health is masculine. I have to look at the man and be like, I love you, man.
You know, the funny thing, not to get off track too, about the welfare girls.
Yeah.
One thing that they can't do is, that, and I have trouble doing it too, you can't look at anybody in the eyes for more than X amount of seconds.
Yeah.
Without looking away or pretending that there's some fake cough or clearing your throat or some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And for a guy to be able to say, hey, man, I love you.
Yeah.
Why is that a big deal?
It's difficult. You know, it really is,
man. You freak out. People freak out. Oh, well, he's not related to you. That's not your cousin. That's not your brother. But, you know, it's a, you feel it, you feel it.
I think that's with you. That's why I really didn't have questions for you is because for this time, this was just two friends hanging out, man.
I loved it. I loved when you, it was fun. You were like, just walk in.
I'm like, just come in. We'll be live, bro.
We're gonna be ready to go.
Yeah, just come on in, man. Because, you know, you're a friend to me now over this too much time to be saying, hey, tell me your philosophy. We just talked, man. So
yeah,
I consider you a cast member of the Cognitive Rampage, man.
That's great.
You know, so you'll be there. You'll be back a lot, I hope.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. I love that shit, man. I think I had something, actually. And now it slipped my fucking... I have podcast remorse.
Luckily, you have a podcast where you can just hop back on and do whatever the hell you want.
He's right. See?
That's a good point.
See?
Keeping you straight right there.
Yeah, I did. I think I got there, man. Oh, well, dude. Man, I love chatting with you, dude. Any shout-outs to personal friends, close ones, loved ones, wifeys?
They know who they are. I love them.
I dig it, man. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You were talking about the eye contact thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I worry because I'm way into the eye contact.
Right.
And I'm like, somebody's going to think I'm fucking crazy. You know, because when I'm doing this podcast with some dude, I'm in you.
Staring.
Yeah, I have to remind myself to go the right and left, the right and left.
Right.
Yeah.
The harder, we talked about making the girls, you can't say a word, though. You can't move.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're like, what is he looking at?
I drank a couple coffee, bro. Oh, my. All right.
He's going to win this.
No, I won't. See, I lost already. See, I know. I got too much coffee in me right now. I'm hot as shit. Like, I don't know why all of a sudden the studio got hot, man. I put it on way on low, man.
I think you turned it. I think you thought
80. Fuck. Maybe it's just all the hot air I'm talking in the fucking room. It's all that bullshit I'm spewing. Oh, dude. Well, I love you, man. Thanks for doing the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed sitting and chatting with Andrew Mariani. I love that dude. Yeah, if you couldn't tell, I was quite under the weather for that one, the way the podcast ended abruptly. It got so hot in the back cave, I guess the AC had went off. So it got really hot in the back cave. I was feeling ill. I just was like, man, I got to run. And so it ended quick, but we did talk for about 2 hours, man. But I love Andrew. He's such a real guy. He's honest with himself, with his life, with the people around him. He's just, I don't know, he's got an energy that you just want to be around. You know what I mean? Makes you want to be a better person. And I think those are the people we got to keep around us. You know, those that make us want to be better people. So, Andrew, thanks for pushing me to be a better person. Those around you and those in your life to be a better person, dude. Can't wait till next time. Those of you listening, I love you too. Hope you're taking care of you and living your cognitive rampage.